problematic areas to discuss. This, in my opinion, and I think based on the conversations we've had over the course of the past 2 months, is a good opportunity for us as a group to take stock of the progress that we've made to date, and also look forward into FY18 specifically, but also beyond that when we get to the last part of the agenda to discuss what are the opportunities beyond FY18. Before I go any further, I think this is a good time for us to do some introductions, and I'll start with myself, and then perhaps we can start with Fernanda and go around the table. My name is Ergis Ramay. I'm a member of the ICANN staff, and I am your support in this particular exercise. Fernanda?
Hello, I'm Fernanda, also ICANN staff, also helping support you guys in this next year.
Good morning. My name is Lawrence Olaole-Roberts, a mentee from the business constituency. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Shonae Leroux. I'm a mentee from the IPC.
Good morning. I'm Agustina Calegari. I'm from MPOC.
Non-for-profit operational concerns constituency.
Exactly. Sorry.
MPOC short.
Your turn, Martin.
She's a mentee. She can do that. I'm the mentor from MPOC. I'm Martin Silva from Argentina. We are both from Argentina.
Hello, everybody. Jelena Ožegović. I am first-time mentor, actually, from CCNSO. I used to be a mentee from Alejandra Reynoso Barral.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Suraj Adhikari. I am from Nepal. First-time mentee. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. I am Esteban Lescano from Argentina. I am from the ISP's constituency. I am the mentor that time.
My name is Marilyn Cade. I am from the commercial and business user constituency, the BC, which no one, of course, recognizes since we only call ourselves the BC. And I am a mentor in the within the BC.
Good morning. My name is Omar Mansour Ansari, and I'm a mentee at the BC.
Good morning. My name is Rapid Sun. I'm used to be a mentee in the GACS and now a mentor. And my mentee, Amisha, she arrived last night late, so now I did not see her yet. Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, and I'm a mentor for the At-Large Advisory Committee, the ADAC.
Morning, everyone. My name is Isaac Maposa. I'm a mentee within the At-Large Committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Baran Gillen, and I'm a mentee for the At-Large Committee.
Hello, I'm Siranush, Fellowship Program Manager.
Hello, everyone. My name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm in this role. I will be serving as a policy liaison for the program. Thank you.
Thank you, and welcome, everyone. I would like to start with a quick update, and for some of you, this will be repetitive, but also hopefully a bit of a refresher so we can start having a common baseline of information. As staff, as I've communicated to you in the past, we've undertaken a review of the program and found that there is an opportunity for us to improve our overall communication, both within the communities and staff, and also from this group to the broader community. Moving forward, the process for selecting participants will be a lot more transparent. From our side, we'll be communicating particularly with the policy liaisons. We'll be relying on them to communicate with their respective communities. We will be providing clear deadlines, clear information on the number of people that will be supported. And hopefully, we will be able to do that in the next 2 to 3 weeks. We've also identified ICANN Learn as a tool to potentially be leveraged for this program. The CCNSO course that was created is a good model for everyone to take a look at and see if that fits the needs of your particular community, which kind of brings us to where we are today. And what we're trying to accomplish is really to make the most out of this program. Identify what works from your perspective, what are the things that we need to improve, both collectively and individually, and really establishing a common goal, particularly on the communications aspect. There has been a big gap in terms of understanding this, again, both within the communities, but also more broadly. The name change hasn't been very helpful, from mentorship program to onboarding program. There's not a lot of information in terms of linkages of this program with the fellowship program or the next gen program and what it means, whether there's an overlap, whether it's something that's totally different. So I think there's a lot of room for improvement for us collectively that we can do on the communications aspect. With that, we are now 20-something minutes into today's agenda. So I think if I may hand over to Marilyn for the first item on the agenda, and that is the feedback and objectives from each respective group, particularly to discuss what are the strengths and opportunities from your individual perspectives of the program, and then identify what are the objectives that you have for FY18, and how is it that we as staff and us collectively here can work together to accomplish those goals. Marilyn?
Thanks, Urges, and thanks very much for the opportunity to take up this I think, complex but very important topic. So let's see if we can make up some of our time. So I'm going to give you a challenge. Each of you, not collectively, but each of you individually, 30 seconds on three things. So 30 seconds on each one of the following. That gives you a total of 90 seconds, a minute and a half. First of all, from your perspective, what do you think the one major accomplishment is of the onboarding program? Two, what do you think the major challenge is? And three, what do you identify as the work that is still needed or a major improvement that you would like to see? One round each, 30 seconds each on those three topics, and then we'll come back and have a dialogue. And let me start, since we've just been joined, I'm going to start perhaps with, may I? And we'll just go down the line and then come back.
You're making it very difficult for me, Marilyn. This is my first meeting, and I actually only joined about a month ago. And I think the accomplishment is the mere fact of our existence. I think it's important to drive the objectives of this program. So yes, I think the fact that we are there is a great accomplishment. I think there are challenges. I, for starters, still struggle to understand the process and our communication, and hopefully this meeting will clear a lot of that up for me. And again, the improvement that I suggest really follows on from the challenge.
Okay, now that's a role model.
Okay, so...
Well, I think that one of the major accomplishments is that we are all the constituencies and groups are here today and have been working together during the past at least 1 or even 2 years in order to improve the communication that we have inside each constituency. And, well, that the major challenge is proving the community that the work that we have been doing here is important, and that this work can facilitate the way that newcomers involve in ICANN in general. Well, that's the major challenge is the work that we still need to have, and I think that we are here today to give a step further on that.
Martin Silva, I agree. I've been working on these things since my fellowship experience many years ago. So for me, the onboarding way of thinking of the stakeholder journey, etc., it's a personal thing that I could experience because I was taught into that from the first second. I was brought into ICANN and they told me, these are the things, where would you like to go, these are the people. I went through an onboarding experience. That's the fellowship is basically that. And so for me, being able to participate in the design of a much more broader, complex, tailored program, it is a very, very interesting experience where I can share something that I wasn't able to share, a value, if you may, that the fellowship gave to me. And this is a very useful way for me to give back all that knowledge that I got from that process. That is, it goes beyond from participating in IPDP or being in leadership, which I achieved. It's something that I took from ICANN, and I'm trying to give it back.
Let's just keep going.
Jelena Ožegović, CCNSO. Well, our accomplishment majorly was starting as a new mentor-mentee couple, Alejandra and me. And for now, I think that our goal for this meeting and for the future project program will be how to like deliver and establish a firm and a permanent guideline on how to pick mentor-mentee couples for CCNSO in the future. And we need to have that covered by the CCNSO Secretariat, and we need to have that covered and backed up by the Council, because that would be the important thing on the transparency and on the future process of it, because Suraj has been picked because he was in the communication with the Secretariat, and he was picked as a newcomer who will be able and have the capacities to follow everything. But for the future times, we have to have that process cleared. And of course, one of the accomplishments is the CCNSO course on ICANN Learn platform that we have now, and the onboarding material that we have finalized. Of course, we have to track it, and we have to change it as things change along the way, since the working groups and the fluid process of every of the community we're in is constantly changing, so that will be also one of the challenges. But that would be it for now. Thanks.
Thank you very much. This is my first participating in this onboarding program. And I should have some excuses to suggest challenges. And as Jelena said, we have some challenges on the communications gap. And we should have understand first what the processes are here. And so in my case, I have to learn more with these meetings. So regarding these challenges, this is a challenge for me. I'm starting this, and I'm starting with these challenges. So I'll learn more, and definitely in the future I'll do something on it. Thank you very much.
Esteban Lescano from the ISPCP. I think that this program is very important because it's trying to fill a gap between the fellowship and the Next Gems program and the daily work of each community. No, in my personal experience, the fellowship is a great opportunity to know ICANN as an organization and to know the different constituencies. But you need a step forward, that is the how to involve with the daily activities of the community. That is why I understand that is very important to coordinate between all the communities, and I think that it is the space when the communities don't work as silos, no? Instead, we work as an interrelated group and exchanging ideas and developing tools that are very useful for all the communities. That's why in my case, I support the program, and I think that is very important because it's trying to fill this gap. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, I'm Shuman Pradhan from ISPCP. Since Osama couldn't attend this program, and I'm working with Stephen here. Thank you.
Thanks. We are making up time. Fantastic. Omar.
Thank you.
Thank you. One of the accomplishments, I guess, was that I, as a BC member, now know so much not only about the BC itself, but also about other constituencies in how we engage ourselves more in the ICANN. So the learning part was great, the mentorship I received, and then my ability to provide mentorship to the other new fellows, newcomers through Sarah Nush's program. So that, I think, was one of the major accomplishments. The issues, the challenge we had at the BC was sometimes it was really hard to work together virtually when we're back to our countries. That was one of the issues, and I have proposed that if we're at an ICANN meeting, that's a good opportunity for all of us to work together more, but there is only one onboarding meeting each time. So if the number can increase and we can do, I mean, taking the opportunity, we can work together more through additional onboarding meeting. I think that will improve, you know, there could be so much. We did quite a lot of work on how people can join BC, what the benefits are. You know, we have been reviewing the documentation and did some presentations as well. So this work requires some more discussions among the team members, and this is a good opportunity for us to do that. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Amicia Mossenden. I'm a member of the GAC representing St. Kitts and Nevis. I'm pretty new to both GAC and ICANN in terms of being involved. I've known about ICANN for some time. So the onboarding process for me is new. I am happy that I'm a part of this process because it gives me the opportunity to learn more about all of the constituencies and learn more about the GAC. I attended my first meeting in Johannesburg in June, and I must say that I was sort of lost, having just been sort of thrown into the meeting, and so I would have contacted Julia to find out how I could get a better orientation to ICANN and being able to participate effectively in the programs. And so I am happy for this. I see it as an opportunity to learn more about all of the constituencies and become more involved in work, especially of the GAC. In terms of challenges, as a government employee, you must be aware that things get pretty hectic, and as a small country, you have to sort of double up and triple up to do lots of tasks. And so in terms of the amount of information that comes across from ICANN, and I mean, even just in the GAC, there's quite a bit of information that's thrown at you. So it's a challenge keeping up. And I see that such a program as the onboarding program can assist in helping you to sort of sift through that information and point you in the direction of what you should be focusing on so that you don't get information overload. Thanks.
My name is Rapid Sun, and I'm in the GACS also, and I see the onboarding program is important for the newcomer to the GACS, because in the GACS we have around 170 country representative in the GACS, and usually the member sometimes they change the country change every 2 years or 3 years, and now in the GAC that we see that the boarding program for newcomer, not only for the new membership country, but also some member that they change the representative, also important for them that they can understand about the GACs in fast tracks, and also for the challenge, we see that some tasks need to be done in the GAC. It is from the GACs member, but mainly the GACs member, sometimes we at our country, there are a lot of work that we are not so much time to concentrate on a lot of issue in the GACs itself sometimes. Yeah, thank you.
Olivier Capenablanc speaking. So major accomplishments-wise, from an ALAC and at-large perspective, the documentation material which was produced was a real success and is going to be very useful and helpful for our community. On the major challenge side of things, improving the communication and the process to engage our community and engage the ICANN communities is probably one of the big challenges we have. It's very difficult to be heard in this environment. And thirdly, on the work that is still needed, just sort of my immediate kickback opinion, on-the-spot opinion, we have to find the focus of each of our community's needs and make sure that it fits within the overall program of fellowship, etc. So there's no duplication of resources, and there's because duplication of resources will mostly introduce some confusion amongst our community, so that will stop us from being able to have a clear message. Thank you.
Isaac Maposa from Etlarge. I think one of the challenges that we faced, it was with regard to communication and getting the overall buy-in from the community members. They did not understand where it's coming from, how it started. So that was one of the major challenges. And some of the major accomplishments, as Olivia stated, was coming up with the documentation that could cater for people across all levels, newcomers, those already in the ICANN community, those in other communities. And also, one of the major accomplishments was actually us ourselves, the expedition of our learning process within the community. It was one of those major accomplishments. What I think needs to be done is the integration of this community onboarding program into the overall ICANN ecosystem, how it fits in, and as Olivia stated as well, so that there won't be like duplication of labor and all that stuff. So I think that's all.
Brian Gillen from At Large. I think the major accomplishments, I have 3 points here. I think it's great that we have a centralized platform for all onboarding across all communities. I remember when I was coming into ICANN, I had complete information overload. As a GAT member said, I was completely confused. I had no idea where to start from. So I think this program is really integral for those coming in, as well as those that have been in the system for some time and need to go into newer areas or want to learn about other communities other than the ones that they're currently in. It also gives focus, and it solves the whole information overload problem. For the challenges, I think maybe we were lacking in a little bit with our goal setting. Our goals were not very clear. Our deliverables were not clear, and we were lacking in coordination, in my opinion. And for the major improvements, and I think for me, it's communication. Thank you.
We're going to skip over to Lawrence, and before we do that, I'm going to give you a heads up about the next round. In the next round, I want us to really focus on, so based on what you've heard, what's your recommendation for how we're going to accomplish these improvements? Lawrence?
Thank you. So with regards to our accomplishment, I would say the biggest for me is that there has now begun a process within our different constituencies where we're looking at how we onboard new volunteers and how we get them to engage actively. This has been ongoing, but you know, there have been barriers. Basically, what we've had an opportunity of doing is looking internally at the system and preferring ways where we can make it easier for volunteers to come in. So that discussion is going on within our different constituencies, and that's a plus for me. In terms of barrier, I think it's basically influencing change within our constituency. So aside from the materials that we've had to prepare, you know, more like an frequently asked questions for volunteers, where they need to go and stuff like that, we've also had opportunities to prefer some changes to our constituency in terms of how new volunteers, new potentials can be attracted and how they could be you know, actively engaged within the community. That also suggests that there are a few things might need to change in terms of how we do things. And, you know, since it's a broad community, that's going to take some time and understanding. In terms of what needs to be done going forward, I think it's finding a way, I mean, identifying unique challenges that are common to the to all the individual constituencies and finding a way around them. Because my understanding of the onboarding program is being able to attract new volunteers, I mean potentials, and give them this fast track into how to engage positively in the community, in our policy development work and other areas. Thank you.
Thanks. So do you want to just, let me just cover what we're doing and then we'll start our next round. Introduce yourself, describe the one major accomplishment that you see that the onboarding program contributed to you and your constituency, your organization, two, major challenge, and three, what work do you think needs to be done?
Hi, everyone. I'm Louise Marie Urell. Sorry for being late. I just arrived and came running to the conference venue. But well, it's really nice to be here. Hello to all, first of all. And for those of you who don't know me yet, I'm with the non-commercial users constituency. Unfortunately, Kathy and Aiden, well, Aiden had a problem with his flight, but they both wish they could be here also talk a bit about our experience. So going directly to the point, because I know we have a short time, thanks, Marilyn. I think, first of all, one of the keepers that we have in the NCUC is what we call the ICANN in bite-sized pieces, and I think that was pretty much one of the goals and one of the strong aspects of our documents, especially because our idea was actually to translate ICANN bit by bit, as the name says, to the newcomers. So it may be quite overwhelming when you get to ICANN, and I can say that for being like this my third ICANN. However, our idea was actually to how can we translate this to a person that has never heard or is kind of interested in ICANN, but they don't know how to engage. So I'd say this is one of the strengths of our program, and we have already started rolling out the different documents, so 6 weeks of different introductions of different parts of what NCUC sees as important, what are our objectives, more or less also what ICANN is. So trying to give this overarching view to someone that is getting to NCUC. So on the other hand, I think one of the challenges now that we're on the already on the operational side of it, is to actually understand how do we connect and translate newcomers' interests with people who are already engaged, for example, in policy development processes, right? So how do we connect people who are interested, they kind of know where they want to be involved. However, they don't know how to engage. So how do we connect newcomers with people who already have some experience but are not necessarily a mentor-mentee structure, some kind of more flexible structure where we can have this network building inside of our constituency? So I'd say in short, very short terms, that's our challenges and the keepers. Thank you.
Okay, so I think now we'll go, what's the recommendation that each of us have to accomplish these changes? I hear a lot of consistency in what we all see as accomplishments and challenges, and I do think this issue of integration of the newcomers into a comfortable experience at ICANN where they feel, whoever they are, that they're contributing and they're recognized as bringing value to ICANN. One of the challenges that we have always within the ICANN community is to make sure that we're contributing to ICANN's core mission and core activities. And sometimes that is specific policy development, and sometimes it's actually about governance of the organization, such as being aware of the fact there's a budget working group, of the fact that there are strategic reviews. Sometimes when you're heads down in a community, you're looking at a specific CC, NSO, or GTLD policy issue, and you're not lifting your eyes and thinking, oh, the overall organization of ICANN also needs the input and the energy of these newcomers. And that may be a really interesting place for a newcomer to join with somebody who's more experienced and jump into contributing to ICANN. So when we think about how do we envision, 30 seconds each, how do you envision accomplishing FY18 objectives? I hear unanimous support for the program. I hear concerns about how the program achieves more, I'm going to call it, credibility within the community. And I'm just going to make a personal observation, Urges, that comes from my long experience at ICANN. So how many people in this room have attended 57 ICANN meetings? Think about the change that's accomplished since ICANN started with such a small staff, only 4 staff, and where we are today. So thinking about how do we make this program acceptable and welcomed by people like those who have been around since the beginning, who came in 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and those who are coming in now and are going to contribute to ICANN's next 20 years. How are we going to do that?
Well, I think we need to follow a structured process. I think we need to understand and distill. There were very good suggestions that I heard. But there were some overlapping suggestions. I think we need to distill the essence from these different suggestions, follow that structured process. I think we need to appoint a person to take ownership of each of these different improvements and then set a reasonable achievement date.
Great. Okay.
I don't want to be repetitive, but I would say that when we first started with the MPOC onboarding program, the question for us is very simple. We've been trying to deal with this since ever I joined the constituency. Our constituency is NGOs, but not any NGOs. We don't care about only NGOs that deals with internet matters, but all NGOs, how NGOs use DNS. That's the main deal. It's the operational concerns of how do you administer an organization. For businesses, it's much more clear. NGOs really have a much more vague knowledge, if any, of DNS, and how to actually use it. Most of them actually enters internet right now through social media. It's more important to have a Facebook page or active Twitter account than the DNS for them, most cases. So we lack NGOs, and ICANN doesn't lack NGOs in general. I mean, we have a lot of them inside. And the question, okay, they enter ICANN. Why don't they ever arrive to MPOC, even just to pop their head and say, okay, what are you doing? Because our names as non-for-profit, it even should sort of have some natural magnetism. So for us, now we have the material that MPOC didn't have the time to develop. This allow us to dedicate specific time to this specific task that is so crucial for both the constituency and the general ecosystem of ICANN. And now it's time to actually answer the second part of the question. It's okay, now we have a material to show and to use. But how can we actually get the NGOs that are already inside ICANN and they're joining ICANN every day to come to our constituency and tell us how do they use DNS? How do they see other NGOs using DNS? Because it's very important to use here the meta approach to the NGOs. It's not only you, it's how the other NGOs using, and they're not coming. The NGO that deals with traffic problems is not coming to ICANN. So we need the intermediate NGOs to tell us how traffic NGOs are using DNS. So that's our challenge for us. We have the start point of having material we didn't have at all, and it's just a must to start approaching new people. But we are still in the material is the beginning, and we can say we are actually starting this now. Before this, it was all much more theoretical. Now we can actually try to implement different ideas, approaches, talk with other people. We also hope that we are going to move on and some other people are going to step in, but it would be ideal if that has some continuity. And in the general challenge, this is the year. We're here. We are trying to really understand the stakeholder journey to work it around so we can get our constituency back.
Well, Martin said almost everything, but in order to accomplish what Martin was saying us, what we have to do, of course, is what we have been saying here since the beginning. We have to be transparent, and we have to work together with the other members of the constituencies, of our constituency. For example, we are working together with the communication chair. No, chair is not, it's communication. Yeah, communication chair of our constituency. We are working together, and I think this is one of our recommendations, because if we are talking about improving our communication, improving our materials, we have to work together with the people inside our constituency who is already working on that, because of course we have developed this material, but this is not going to be enough. As Martin was saying, our constituency is currently being, the charter of our constituency is currently being renewed, so the material that we have needs to be constantly updated, so we have to find a way of doing that work and involving more person in the process.
Yelena, for the record. What I think that major challenge for each of the communities here is the thing that we're going to do next, trying to set some few communicational goals. Because from what I hear, communication and organizing the communicational activities would be one of the most challenges, which is repeated here. So maybe we should try focus to use this face-to-face meeting only to set like for one or two goals for each of the communities, and to try to set deliverables and try to work on them and to focus on that. So steps. Lou says, like in little steps and bite-sized pieces. So that would be a recommendation.
Esteban, for the record, yes, I think that communication is very important, but because We have to share that our starting point is that each community has some worries about how to engage more people, no? More people in the organization. Then each community has to understand the importance of this program, because this program is in some way a service, a support to the particular community. We are not competing with other programs. We are not competing with other instances of participation inside ICANN. I think that we are helping the broad community in how to engage. For example, in the case of the ISPCP, I was a fellow, and for me it was, as I mentioned before, a great experience. But then when I arrived to the ISP constituency, it's very difficult to follow the discussions and the actual problems that are under debate in the constituency. That is why I think, and from a personal point of view, that is very important to develop a bridge between the newcomer or your first approach to ICANN or your second approach to ICANN into the daily activity of the constituency. And the onboarding is this, we are trying to build this bridge. The problem maybe is that each constituency has to know that we are working on this bridge and in some way make this effort as an own effort. Okay, in order to support the bridge, to support the efforts we are making, and in our case, well, I get the involvement of the leadership of my constituency, the leadership support the program and our effort, and that's why we are trying to give some continuity and to have a new mentee and to follow the process, because we understand that is very important to build this bridge between newcomers and daily work of the constituency. Thank you.
Hi, Louise for the record. So I think there are a couple of points that we keep picking up on each other, right? Because I think there are some common threads over here. But I think overall, the onboarding program is very unique in the sense that it brings together all the constituencies in this very collaborative space. But however, it also brings to us the possibility of actually talking together, but developing our own way of talking to our constituency and understanding and translating all of these concerns. So I think this is a very interesting and particular point of the onboarding program, and I also think it's the cornerstone of the success that we have until now in developing all of these different approaches within our constituency and developing something that is within our language, within our constituency. And I think that particular and more general aspect to that is combined with the onboarding process, I think that's very unique to what we're doing over here. But on the other hand, I think going more to the particular of NCUC, I think our question is not necessarily engaging, but doing outreach, because we have been throughout these past years, especially the past year, we've had a lot of newcomers. But our question now is, how do we do inreach? And in this sense, I think the onboarding program, and I'll pick up on a word that you used, Esteban, bridge. I think the onboarding program is a very important bridge between the outreach and inreach, because it is actually this middle ground which is fundamental for people to actually engage effectively. And I think I'll just stress the idea of effective engagement, because if we actually roll out, in the case of NTUC, we're rolling out the documents, we're seeing how the communication with the newcomers is following up. So I think it's a process that we'll have to see how it goes throughout these weeks, but until now, the communication process has been really great. They have been really open. So how do we establish safe channels for them to communicate with us? How do they feel at ease to actually raise their concerns? And perhaps sometimes they feel that their questions are not relevant, and they feel that this is a safe space for them to voice these kinds of questions. So I think this middle ground between people who are coming in and people who are actually putting their hands on, I think this is the space where the onboarding program actually happens. And I think I'll go also to Yelena's point of what is the next step, right? And I think that is the question for today. Like, what is the next step? Some of our constituencies have, some of the constituencies over here have already developed their documents, have developed their approach, have been rolling out, have been putting this in practice. So how do we go from now on? So what do we see are the fundamental next steps for this program? So thanks.
Thank you. My name is Omar from the BC. I do support the proposals on improving communications, outreach and enrich. Yelena's proposal on setting up communication goals that will really help us all to achieve our objectives. In order to do that, I think there should be more meetings within different communities, constituencies. For example, BC virtual meetings, that should be structured as proposed. We need to set the number of meetings and then set objectives for what we are trying to do, what the deliverables are, as Yelena proposed. And also creating more awareness about our work within our constituencies. I feel like some of the leadership in some constituencies are still not aware enough about what the onboarding program is and how it can be improved and how it can play a role in what are the benefits of the program. More outreach and reach to other communities, people who are not involved in the ICANN or the players, you know, who are important in different regions, especially in the developing world, in Afghanistan, for example, or the rest of the Central Asian countries. I don't see a lot of engagement or sufficient engagement from that region. We need to help create some awareness in those regions. I was doing a little analysis on the fellowship programs, business fellows specifically. There only throughout the ICANN program, there were 63 people who came through the fellowship program. And by business, they mean all other commercial stakeholders, like from ISP and IP and other constituencies in the business constituency. So 63 people are called to be business within the fellowship program. And out of these 63 people, only six of them made it twice to an ICANN meeting. And there are only four who came thrice to an ICANN meeting. The rest of the people, which are, you know, around 55 or so, they never made it again to an ICANN meeting. So in order for us to engage the people who have been to ICANN, we need to find a way how to engage them more within the ICANN and how the engagement can can be meaningful. So I would suggest working more very closely with the fellowship program so that we can understand how we can further engage the people who come as fellows at the ICANN, and then how do we engage ourselves, our constituencies, and how we can add value. These are some of the proposals I have.
Good morning again. I too support the need for improved communications, especially after persons would have come through the programs. What you would find normally is that if there is no structured way of engaging persons, they would just sort of pass through and then move on. So I think that there is a real need for us to try to engage more to ensure that persons who would have been involved continue to be involved in some way. In terms of how we can better engage, I know some of the constituencies have develop structured ways of or structured documents for their onboarding within their community. Those documents can be shared with the other constituencies who may not have such documents. I think that is going to be important, especially where those programs or documents have been found to be successful in getting persons more integrated, bridging the divide between being a newcomer and becoming involved in the policy work. Thanks.
I'm going to speed us along. We only have 10 more minutes, so.
Marin, here. Can I say something? No, because I want to refer to Omar's comments. I think that the problem is not in the fellowship program, okay, in your rate of attendance and engagement. I think that is important from my personal point of view, that the problem is not in the fellowship program. The problem is in the bridge between. So ICANN, as we know, is very complex, and it's very complex as an organization and as a community. And then the problem is the gap, okay? The gap between. I think that the fellowship is enough in order because you meet all the leaders, you get all the information, but then you have to jump. No, the gap between the information and the experience to the personal engagement into the work of each constituency. That is why I think that we need this bridge. No, just to react to the comment. Thank you.
I'm going to come back on that. I want to be sure everybody gets to speak. Rapid, did you want to? So we'll go to Olivier.
Yeah, thanks, Marilyn. Olivier Crépin-Blanc speaking. One of the things that I've heard from fellows and from NextGen program participants is that they get invited to one meeting, and then the next meeting, there's another group that gets invited. And it takes more than one meeting to get to learn about ICANN and actually become really effective in ICANN as an effective, active participant as such. And so I think that this program here has the advantage of being able to have a more sustained push of specific people that started out as fellows or next-gen participants and can then move on move up the stakeholder ladder. I don't know if there's such a thing, a virtual ladder in ICANN, from newcomer all the way to community leader. So in a way, the stakeholder journey effectively. I've heard people mention a focus on specific moments or specific parts from a brand newcomer and moving on to being a participant in an SO or AC. But if we look at it, if we look at the whole program as a whole, then we can all look at the different gaps that are missing in our community, and therefore we can all fill the gaps of the stakeholder journey, which I think is something that's still missing in ICANN from the time you arrive here and the time you end up as the chair of the ICANN board. Well, that should be everyone's goal, isn't it?
Okay. I believe the effective implementation of this community onboarding program is one of the key pillars to the engagement of volunteers, or expediting the engagement of newcomers and those that that have been into ICANN but are not engaging in any work. So I believe the effective implementation of this program will actually help increasing engagement within ICANN work or volunteerism. And one of the things that we are going to do as at large is we want to get more feedback from the community so that there will be more support from the community, so that they won't just see it as a program that another program that other people are just doing and just watch from the terraces. But we need the buy-in of the community. If they do put their input into it, they are also willing to actually support it as well. And also working with the relative working groups, for example, the outreach and engagement, because this program will actually also help, like, our outreach and engagement effort within our communities as well. And also, one other thing that we need to look at is how are we going to package our material, this program, in a way that is easily accessible by our target audience, so that it won't be just material we have developed and the program that we have come up with, but there are no people who are actually coming to the resources that we have created or actually appreciating the work that we have done so that they can actually use it as they go on. Also, we need our repositories to be live repositories where we don't just dump, maybe it's the material we have worked on and we don't go back to it. They should be live with the changing needs of the communities and the changing needs of ICANN. I think that's all.
Hi, this is Baran. I just have 3 points, and it's based on what I've come up with and gleaning on some of the comments that people have said. So one is bridging the gap. That really stands out to me, what Esteban said about bridging the gap. There is a huge gap from fellowship and being an active participant within ICANN, and I think we can look at that. Two is sustaining the engagement of the newcomers. How do we sustain, how do we keep them engaged? We bring them in, we give them the documentation. Okay, fine, now they know about ICANN. How do we sustain that engagement? So that's two for me. And three, what really struck me was my NCUC buddy over there talked about bite size. That really, really clicked for me, chunks of information rather than just dumping everything on someone. So I like that idea, and it's digestible and accessibility. So those things stand out for me. Thank you.
Hold on, I'm just going to come to Lawrence and then open it up.
All right, so what I'll just chip in as my contribution in terms of recommendation, amongst other things that we've listed as to-do points, I think we should look at the possibility of building or developing a simple map, a stakeholders map, you might call it. So from the point where we have potentials to the point where you become a leader, what are the steps involved, so to say. Now, there are many doors into ICANN. The fellowship program is one. It can't even cater for the number of persons who apply because, you know, the applications have grown tremendously. But aside from the fellowship program, the next gen, there are other doors in which you get into ICANN. Now, is it possible to put this on a map? Because we are different constituencies, yes, but we are under one organization. So where the starting point are the different doors, so the starting point could be the different doors in which you can assess a constituency in ICANN. And then based on where you fall in, based on your interest, from potential volunteer to say, up to the point where you become a leader, what are the different stages? So if you were to go end up being a leader, it will mean that you had participated, so to say, actively in maybe one or two working groups, cross-community working group. It could be a review team. So, because when it comes to engagement, we find people who come into our different constituencies, but not necessarily engaging, not necessarily doing something. And I believe that the reason why this program was thought up in the first instance was the fact where we can mitigate the volunteer burnout. So if you have people coming in, we also need to show them, maybe in a simple way, what they could be doing as a part of the ecosystem. So when you get to that point where you become a leader in ICANN, these different steps are stuff that you should have actively engaged in. I think this is something that we can do. We've been working individually, you know, in our different constituencies.
Guys, I need you to be really succinct.
Come again?
Can you be very succinct about your recommendation? We have two more and then we need to wrap up.
Okay, so basically, I think this is one thing that I see us all from different constituencies coming together to do as onboarding. And I think if we were to work on stuff like this, just one thing, it's not like different maps for different constituencies, but one general thing which we can put out into the community and where people who already are engaging can also use to track where they are on the stakeholder journey. Thank you.
I have 2 30 seconds each, and then we're going to wrap up. Otherwise, you're not going to get any coffee.
I'm going to be a quick one. And thank you, Lawrence, for the introduction, because that perfectly goes within my point. Maybe we need a repository of the skills for each of the working group and each of the communities. Because I think people, when they get in, they have hard times even maybe downloading the Adobe, following the sessions, knowing on what working group needs what skills. And maybe we should start working on a community level on which skills are needed for the people to participate in some of the working groups in the business constituency. Whether that should be like, I don't know, communication skills, understanding the business environment and stuff like that, and maybe to start writing and thinking about that.
Just a quick remark that although the experience of how to engage in the post next gen fellowship is useful, I think there are people that are in a very good position regarding the average newcomer. I mean, the statistic of next gen and fellowship are very good in the way of they engage afterwards. So definitely our focus is, although we can learn from that, and I say it in personal experience, our challenge is beyond that. It's for newcomers that do not get the material, do not get the mentorship, do not get the contacts, just that.
Omar, I think you had 30 seconds, and then we're wrapping.
Thank you. The analysis I'm doing with the support from Marilyn and Lawrence, that's a work in progress. We're still working on it. But my point was that we should find a way to work closer with the fellowship program, where I belong as well. I came in 51 to the ICANN as a fellow, and Esteban and I were in the same program batch. So it's good that we have Saranoush here, but my proposal was that we should get involved with the fellowship program, discuss with them to see how we can bring the people who were not able to come to an ICANN meeting again, how we can engage them and how we can bring them back, you know, to be more active.
Hi, this is Baran. Just a quick one. I just wanted to buttress on what Lauren said about how we can come into ICANN and the map, and I think that's a great idea. It got me really excited because we have so many programs in ICANN. We have the leadership training program, we have the chairing skills program, we have the next gen, we have the fellowship. So how do we get all these things integrated on one map? And I think that's a fantastic idea because then people can come in through different doors in ICANN, in different communities, and grow through the so there won't be one structured virtual ladder, so to speak. It would come in from different angles. If you're, for example, an administrator in your department at work or whatever, and you already have these skills, then you don't have to go through the normal door or the normal virtual ladder. You can go through another way to get through the leadership program. I'm getting all excited now. Yay.
Very quickly, before we go any further, we do have some maps, some visuals that show the journey of an individual at ICANN. So we will share with this group the latest version that we have. Take a look at it, see if that's fit for purpose. And then we can kickstart this conversation again. But we do have materials that we have developed at the staff level and, of course, in collaboration with the community.
I just thank you. Marilyn speaking. I was actually just going to note that see, one of the benefits is I was around when some of those were created. And I do think they're useful for some, but I think what we've heard is this group in particular probably might even volunteer to look at them and to say, okay, what works? What needs to be refreshed? What needs to look different? Rather than going further with a summing up, as we only have a 10-minute break, much of what we've talked about has to do with our next topic. And so I think if everyone agrees, we would break for coffee and then come back. And since most of our recommendations are about communications and the process, we can just feed naturally into that. And let me thank all of you for your flexibility, and I'm giving out awards for who kept to the 30-second rule. That's a joke.
Thank you all. Let's break for coffee. Okay, everyone, if we can please come back and take our seats. We're going to get started on the second segment of the agenda. Let's give it another minute. It looks as if we're missing a few people. I'll go check out there, see if I can bring them in. Okay, welcome back, everyone. We're going to start on the second segment of today's agenda. Yelena is going to take the charge on this one, but before I hand over, just quickly touch on a couple of points. The notion of improved communication was one of the most common threads identified in the previous discussion, and I think this is an important and good segue into the conversation that we're about to have now on the aspect of communication. Yelena has created a document that she would like to share with us. But I'll let her speak to it, and then we'll get the conversation going. Yelena?
Thank you very much. Can you tell me how much time do we have?
We've got about 40 minutes.
40 minutes, okay. Just to know and just to help you and keeping up the short. If I just go...
But for the next segment, Leveraging ICANN Learn, Betsy Andrews is not coming, so we can spill over to that next one and take some time if we need to.
You wave and tell me about the time if I go just too much. Okay, before I scare you here, for what I've created is just a working document, and we may or we may not use it, however you like it. I found it useful. I found it useful just to put on some things we've been doing about and to try to frame the way we can think about setting some few communicational goals from the CCNSO part of the story, but I think this can be useful to all of you. So if I can ask you to look at the screen. I apologize, but the black and blue doesn't go well. From the left side, you see practically the framework yes, thank you, that's great. You practically see the framework we can use to set some few communication goals for the FY18. Now, I would like to hear your comments on whether this structure and framework is good and if you would like to use it. We can also make it more better to suit better the needs of your community. What I was trying to do is practically create the specific sheet in a Google spreadsheet that would be like a sheet per community, and to give the framework and to try to see where we're at and what communicational goals we can think about. So what I started is whether a community does or does not have an onboarding material document finalized. So what I ask you is to just try to think, and I will ask each of the members of the community so we can go through all of these questions and just to try to give answers to them to see where we're at. Whether the onboarding material is finalized, whether the I Can Learn course is finalized, or whether it's in the status of creation. What would be the steps or challenges for internal community approval? What seems to be the problem? Why is your community taking so long? Is there some issues we can face and we can talk? Is there something that we can do to speed that process up? Because it would be a good thing for each of the community to have the onboarding materials finalized. The other would be the thing that we've been talking about, what would be the overall goal for the FY18. Now, I've been trying to take some notes, and I've been trying to fill in the document within the each community and trying to catch a sentence or two what would be the goal, but this is a general thing. We don't have to set things up. This is not carved in stone. We can change this. After that, what would be the communicational goal for the FY18? Okay, improving communication, yes, that's important. But how? What would be the steps? Where to start? What would be the action plan? Whether that would be the finalizing of the onboarding document, or that would be creating some infographics, or I don't know, maybe the map, as Lauren said, what that would be. After that, I would like you to think about the external communication, content types of you can create. And I also would like you to ask to look at the right side of the table. From the right side, you have the tentative timeline option that would frame you to think about what would be the timeline to pursue this goal and to pursue this activity. Okay, within the FY18, yes, that's all the goal that we should search, but maybe we have time and maybe we have the opportunity to think about creating some materials until the end of the year 2017. Maybe, why not? Use this to just think about how quick can you be. Also, aside from that, you have the responsible community representatives or ICANN staff that may help you. So you can name the responsible people there, and just to see and to have an overview of who is involved. Metrics, that would be a tough one. How to know whether the goal is fulfilled? How to know whether the goal is smart? Is it short measurable? Is it actionable? How to know whether you fulfilled it? And also the resources and the support needed. That's the end of it. That's far right, but okay, you will see it when you see the table. What is the support that this group, that other community members can give you? I would also motivate you to think about cooperating inter-communities. Why some members of, I don't know, BC wouldn't help CCNSO to develop something and to give ideas and support in that way. Afterwards, we can go back to the left side of the table and see what would be the planned activities to fulfill the communicational goal. What should we do? What would be the general challenges for us to think about this? Like a little SWOT analysis. What would be the strengths, weaknesses, threats, and activities we can go through. And also, at the end of it, that would be the proposed rapporteur to assign to report back to the group what would be the status of this communication goal. Now, this is just a working tool. This is just a proposal. I have fulfilled some info for the CCNSO just to show how that might look. This is just a starting point for us to think and develop communicational goals in the FY18. Now, I would ask if you, some of you wants to start first, and I can go through this table and we can start to give answers to each of these fields. How does this sound to you? Is this too complicated? Is this too overwhelming? Can we start? I hear no complaints. So maybe we can start from this side of the table and go around. Would that be good? Louise, would you like to start?
Okay. Challenge accepted. Louise, for the record. Well, I think I'll probably comment as we go because I think some other points will come up. But I think it's a really interesting structure, Yelena, and thanks for sharing with all of us because I think it gives a very interesting level of transparency, of a good communication, translating these. I just really appreciate how you put the different topics, and especially how this can actually translate and transmit what we have been doing and what we see as the next step. So already responding to what goes beyond now, right? So I think on the level of the NCUC, I think we have already approved the materials, if we can say so. In terms of communication, I think that's really interesting because on our level now, it's to understand once we get done with all the first cycle of actually sending out the materials, we'll have one full round and understand and have feedback from these people who had the experience as newcomers in actually having access to the documents. So this will be very interesting and very important for us to think about how can we improve and what are the next steps. So I think we're in the middle of the track right now. However, at the end, I think this feedback will definitely feed into this this structure. And I think the structure is really good because it is clear and it's very well organized in the sense of like, what have we been doing? What are we going to do? And who are the focal points in this process? So thanks for sharing, Elena.
Ooh. Now, can you quickly answer my questions? What would be, like, in few words, short communicational goal for FY18 for the NCUC?
I think it would be mostly to improve our mailing list because we have established a mailing list within NCUC to set out the onboarding documents to reach out a specific group of newcomers as they come. They are added to this mailing list, so I think it would be definitely to improve that and work with staff on that.
Awesome. What do you think would be the tentative timeline? Until the end of the year, or?
Yeah, I think like now we're on the fourth week, so I think, yeah, until the end of the year would be a reasonable deadline.
Great. Also, can you remember some of the challenges for this process and for the FY18 that we can go through? I wrote, think that you said the challenge it would be how to connect newcomers interested.
No. Definitely. I think it's to establish these, as we were talking actually in the break right now, is to establish these focal points, but actually to get things started and actually having these people more operational, more hands-on, but in a more fluid structure also. So I think this is the challenge. How do we structure these focal points in a more operational way, you know, to the different policy processes in this sense that okay. I mean more specifically.
Have you started to develop the ICON Learn course with Betsy?
Well, no, I don't think we have started yet.
Thank you. Who would be next volunteer to answer my questions? Esteban? Good.
Yes, Esteban Lescano. In the case of the ISPCP, we have the onboarding material final approved, but we are a step behind in the case of the I Can Learn course. because we don't have it, and we have to work in the course. I agree with your objective, the objective for communication goal for fiscal year 18, because in for the CCNSO, your plan is to communicate by mailing list, and I think that could be the same for us.
Do you see any challenges with this process? Who would be the responsible persons? You?
Well, in some way we are making a new team. Mm-hmm. No, maybe the challenge in our constituency is again to refresh the support with leadership and to explain again about this program and the objectives and well the goals that we are planning for this fiscal year.
So do you have any communication channels who are already developed and that may be used within the ISB constituency? For example, mailing list, some of the promotional channels. What is your communication with the ICANN comm team?
I was wondering that I have to talk with the people that is in charge of outreach in our constituency. Just to...
This is just a work in progress.
And yes, no. That's why one of the goals has to communicate with the people in charge of the outreach activities in our constituency in order to promote these onboarding materials and documents.
I haven't understood. Is it finalized yet?
Sorry?
It's not finalized yet, so it's still in the draft version of it.
No, I think that this is the final version.
So you do have the approval of your...
Yes.
Okay, so we should update that in the wiki part, and we should update it here. Okay. Thank you. Thanks. Would you like to add something?
That no, be? Thank you.
Okay. Guys, you want
to? You want to go? Or?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I thought you want to go.
No, she's going to us.
No, I want you to talk.
First of all, Start Innovation, I love the framework. It really, really helps a lot to actually get things done and understand what you're missing at. It's easier if you ask me, you did with them.
You share the mic. Okay, Martin, can you tell me what is the status of your onboarding material?
It's almost, I would say, final. We would like more input of the community to actually call it final. We don't have any more to add to it, but we feel that we didn't have enough feedback of the community, in the sense of almost zero feedback. I mean, they said, it's okay, it's perfect, move on. And we don't believe them. We know the material can be improved, so I would say it's good enough to go. But I would leave open the chapter for modifications. I will try to get more feedback constantly and not close it.
Have you started working on an ICANN Learn course?
Not even remotely near.
What would be the overall goal for the FY18?
We haven't specifically discussed this with Agustina, but she agrees. I would feel that there are two main things that we need to address in that year. If we achieve them, it would be greater than the last 5 years of the constituency goals of communication. One is the communication inside the constituency itself, when it comes to Luis said, the proper communication through email list about the transparency of the decisions and the actual debate of issues of things. And not only just, sporadic and random emails that no one really, the membership that doesn't is involved in the leadership doesn't really know what's going on.
and the things outside the constituency. How do I, as MPOC, address other potential stakeholders, relevant stakeholders or NGOs in this case, outside the constituency? Maybe NGOs that are at large, NGOs that are at NCUC, NGOs that are listening at the GAC that might be useful inside the GNSO process itself, instead of listening at the GAC. I would say that from the communication point of view, that would be the goal. If we can have a plan and start implementing it, that would be probably more than it's been done in the last 5 years.
I agree with you. I think that our goal is to, finalizing the materials, design it, and the distribution of these materials, and try them in the newcomers and new members. But as Martin said, our goal is to bring newcomers into the constituency, and for that we need this material. So it's like, we need both, to train the material, but for doing that we need the newcomers. So we are in the middle. We can't try the material right now because, as Martin said, we need more feedback from our community, and we are pushing harder on that. And also because of the situation that the constituency is experiencing right now with the chapter reviewing, our materials need to be improved in that sense, because even though we believe our final version is okay to move on, we know that we need to make changes there.
Question for Agustina. Do you have a tentative timeline for this finalizing the onboarding document and getting the approval?
Well, the approval is... We have the approval, but I think that during this meeting we are going to know what are the changes that the constituency is going to have in terms of chapter review. So I think that by the end of the year we will be able to have the final version.
It is written in the table, so you know it.
Perfect.
Thanks, Shanae, IPC. This is a great document. It addresses exactly what I said earlier we should do, so it sets out the strategy. What I would like to see also, because this document seems to me to address really the work that needs to take place between the community representative here and the community, but also create a similar document for the relationship between us and the other programs. And that really talks to what Esteban and Omar said. Reach out to the fellowship and the next gen programs. Create a document that says what it is that we need to achieve, who will take responsibility for the integration processes. So that, I think, is a similar document that I would suggest we create too. But going back to the IPC, we have finalized our onboard documentation, and it's been submitted, so nothing needs to happen there. I understand also that some work has started on the I Can Learn program, but I don't think much. The challenge that we are facing is less rather than more. The more documents you throw at people, they're less likely to read it, especially in the IPC. So we need to find a way to sustain the attraction process without overwhelming people with documents and questionnaires and things like that. Our particular challenge is also more on the gap side, if I can call it that, rather than newcomers who have become members and become engaged with the IPC. Once you remember the IPC, you pretty much, and once you've gone through that process, you know what you want to achieve, you have a pretty good understanding. So our challenge is not keeping our members occupied and active, but rather getting them from outside into the IPC. So it's really on the outreach side that I think, and bridging the gap between the fellowship and the next gen and other programs, that we are facing those challenges.
Can you set some communication goal for FY18? Should we say that maybe creating the plan on how to outreach the people in the community would be overly set the communication goal for our IPC?
What does yes, that sound to you? We do have an outreach plan. I think it would be great if we could have some, again, it's integrating that plan with some other programs. There's also, and that is something that we need to address internally, there's certainly not any communication from the IPC to its members regarding this onboarding program. So we need to improve that. It's a small group of people within the IPC that's working on it. There certainly needs to be more communication between the IPC and its own members about this program too.
Do you have any idea on what will be the tentative timeline until the end of the year, until the beginning of the 2018? Ideas on how much time do you need to fulfill that?
I think it's a matter of until the end of the year to improve the communication internally, yes. No, thank you.
Okay, I'll defer to the mentor for the BC, Mary Lynn, to speak to this.
Thanks. And thanks very much, Marilyn Kate speaking. Thanks very much for putting this together. I'm going to make a concrete suggestion first that this be shared with all of us so that we can update it ourselves. Because for many of us, and the BC in particular, we will be presenting to our full membership. But I want to make a couple of comments. First of all, I've said this before, but I think it's really important to reinforce. We have our own outreach and awareness and leadership development program in the BC. And I say that because the onboarding materials are augmenting work that we've already been doing. We have three different audiences in the BC to use any kind of materials with. We have an existing two-page fact sheet that we update on a very regular basis that is specific to the region that we're meeting in and is translated. We have a newsletter that we're very proud of that we do on a for each ICANN meeting. And that newsletter, at least once a year, has a topical story in it that is not about ICANN, but is about general business issues and topics that can be used for more general purpose outreach. The ICANN Learn program, the platform, I just want to say very quickly, on our leadership program, we identify two executive level attendees from the region and bring them using our own money and some support from ICANN through the special allocations. They get coaching beforehand, they get a conference call beforehand, they get a customized walkthrough of the agenda, they get introduced to different people, and they're sort of Sherpa'd around to different events so that they can come into the ICANN meeting and walk out of it with a very clear commitment that they are going to join the BC. ICANN Learn doesn't work for them because it's too detailed. We may refer them to ICANN Learn after the meeting specifically. For newcomers, it's a very different story where programs like ICANN Learn may be very, very beneficial. But I just want to, then the third audience is an existing member who is bringing on board a different person. So the member is the same because we have companies as members, trade associations, professional groups. So the member is the same, but the participant may be different. And in that case, onboarding materials, the two kinds, in that case, ICANN Learn may be very, very helpful, but for the most part, the only reason they're there is to a deep dive on policy or on budget or something. So we have to sort of customize the generally available materials. We should be completed by the end of the year. We've got some things pretty far along. I will just make a comment about I like to use the analogy of the nine blind monks and the elephant. And I hope this program is helping us to be able to step back and create a vision of the whole elephant and not just the trunk or the tail or the side of the ear, because I think that's been one of our challenges. So one thing I am going to call out is all of us have developed a view of ICANN from our own perspective and our materials. I think we're going to need to take a little scrub at this and make sure that yes, we may give our opinion, but we also need to make sure that we're consistent with facts. And that's true for us inside our BC materials as well as everyone. Otherwise, the GAC materials may be reflecting who they think the BC is, or the BC may be reflecting who they think the GAC is, but we're not quite getting a full picture. So by the end of the year, and it's the three of us who will be finalizing it, and we are presenting. Now, one final point. The responsibility for this belongs in our outreach committee, which reports to the executive committee and to the vice chair of finance and operations. It does not belong to our policy counselors. That may be different for other constituencies, but I think it's important to understand that's what our review process is.
So can we say that practically one of the communicational goals for FY18 for the BC would be to connect all of the communicational channels that you have and creating the plan and clear set of steps on which will be used for the onboarding material to be promoted? Can we say it that way?
Yes, but I think one other thing that I've heard others say, our program is both outreach and awareness. Awareness is a very important part of the outreach we do, and we do not intend to recruit everyone. Lawrence gave a presentation, for instance, at an RIR Internet Summit in Kenya. Another one of our members gave a speech at Uganda. We weren't trying to recruit those thousands or hundreds of people. We were trying to raise awareness about what ICANN is and why the business community cares. And I think that may be different for us as well, but a really important point.
Thank you. And just a short info, this table will be shared with everybody. Now I'm fulfilling it just to create the draft material, integrate the draft content just for you to see on how that might be used. But it will be shared with all of you so you can all review the things that I just popped in here while I'm writing in speed and making typos as I write. Yes, I saw. So you will be, it will be shared, and you will be able to edit it. So, Beran and Holly, yes, Beran, would you like to speak? Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Yelena. It's Beran for the record. I just want to seek clarification. We're giving timelines on certain communications and certain goals. I want to know, with regards to the community onboarding as a whole, we have been through a bumpy road recently. What are the plans moving forward for FY18? Because I think before we actually start giving timelines to certain things, we need to be clear as communities where we're heading for FY18 for the community onboarding program as a whole. And that would determine how the communities will move forward.
So we are currently in FY18. And FY18 ends at the end of June 2018. So what the exercise that Yelena is facilitating is for us as individual groups to identify what are your individual goals for that time period. The program is here to facilitate that work. So in terms of program goals, it's basically the way it was intended to be, to facilitate the community and support your work in developing the materials that you need to develop and engage your own respective communities. Does that answer the question or no?
Okay, let me put it in another way. Okay. I think that my understanding of FY18 initially when Janice was around was that it would be an implementation part of the program. The first part would be choosing the mentors and the mentees and developing the documentation. The second part would be filtering that information to other mentors or other mentees rather. Then we would become the mentors and then bring other people into the program. That was the plan. So I'm trying to sort of kind of find my way around. Where does this fit in now?
So that's more, you're talking more about the process now and more about the individuals who are participating in the program rather than the content that's being developed. Am I understanding this correctly? So in terms of the process, as I mentioned earlier, we'll be working with the respective communities and in this case with Heidi on the selection of future participants, and that has to go through the appropriate channels within at large. In terms of the actual content, this exercise is really, again, just to facilitate and enable and get the information that we need to get so that there's accountability, there's transparency, and people really just know what's happening, both here in this room, but also more broadly. Structure was one of the things that was mentioned earlier. Structure has been the theme for the past 2 months. And to a large extent, this is a framework that provides that structure upon which we can build. Now, as Yelena said, this is not set in stone. Each community can tweak this. There may be a need for each one of you guys to go back to your respective communities, consult them to see if these timelines that you decide upon today are feasible. But again, this exercise is just essentially to get something in writing, not necessarily a firm commitment, because we do understand that you have to go back to your respective communities. Marilyn mentioned that her processes are different from everybody else's, so we have to adapt to those needs as well. Is that a little clearer, hopefully? Okay. Elena, back to you.
So we can continue. Biran, would you like to, or Isaac, or who would like to speak in front of the ELEC? Biran, please. Now you answer the question.
Isaac, why are you pushing it to me? Okay, so for our material status, we have developed the documentation, but is yet to be approved by the community members. So it's something that's still being discussed at community level. For the course, we haven't yet structured it. We just have the documents sitting in the repository on the wiki, and we've also developed an interactive PowerPoint presentation as well, but nothing yet on the ICANN platform. ICANN Learn platform. Challenges for internal community approval.
That's what I got from previous presentation. From what I saw, that would be the challenge to pack the material so it's easily accessible to the community. But yes, we can change this. So do you think, are there any challenges within your community to get the approval for the document?
To get the approval, yes, we are having challenges internally.
What are those? The like communication you're having?
Yes, it would be communication and just awareness of the program and the mandate for the program, basically, because it has changed over a period of time, and maybe that wasn't communicated clearly enough to the community and the RALOs, and we need to work on that. And I would think that that's definitely a challenge.
What do you think would be the timeline for the approval? Tough question, huh?
At large, it's a unique structure compared to the other communities. We work with the RALOs based on geographic regions, so we would have to reach out to the RALO leadership teams and have meetings with them. And it is on the agenda for ICANN 60. We do have, I think, a 45-minute slot with the ALAC and the regional leaders.
Go ahead.
This is Heidi. Just so at large has two sessions on this topic. One is on Sunday, and that's with Ericus. It's an overall introduction to the program and to answer questions for all of the members of the ALAC, the At Large Advisory Committee, as well as the regional leadership. Then there's a meeting, I believe, on Tuesday of the regional leadership. And this is going to make progress on a call that we had about 2 weeks ago with Olivier, I believe you were on it as well, with the RALO leadership, again, discussing what the program is, getting their feedback, getting them aware of the program, and during this meeting, the face-to-face meeting, there'll be more discussion on ensuring that there's this bridge between the COP as well as the RALOs that work with the at-large structures, the organizations within, you know, the grassroots of at-large.
That is a tough one process. I think that ALAC has the most complicated process of approval because of the type of the community. Do you need any support from us as a program? Do you need any additional support from us? Can we help you with this one? Should we be present at the presentations and on those sessions just to add something and to speak and speed it up in a way?
I think Ergis will be at one of the sessions. And I think also we need to do a lot of coordinating internally because we have a little bit of overlapping with regards to when the program name was changed, because we already had an internal onboarding that we were working on at RALO level. And then we also have the outreach and engagement. And now we have the community onboarding. So you can see the overlap there. So there's a lot of internal coordination that needs to happen. And I think really that would take us about the whole of FY18 to get that done. Yeah.
Great. So we can say,
sorry, Elena. Can I just add something really quick? It's just perhaps a suggestion and more of like a active point. We have, as I said, we have developed our documents and everything. And I think one of the suggestions perhaps for the whole group would be also to see if we could get translation of these documents to different languages. I think that is fundamental, and in what we're doing right now, we have some of, like, we have NCUC LAC calls, so it's really interesting to just have this more nuanced and granular approach. I think the translation is fundamental and can be very useful recommendation for all the constituencies. Thanks.
That's a great suggestion. Thank you. Should we have...
Yeah, so the short answer is yes. Once the materials are finalized and there's buy-in from the community, your respective leaderships, absolutely. The materials will be translated.
Thanks. Should we continue? GAC representatives, Rapid, would you like to add and maybe give some short answers to these questions?
Okay, my name is Rapid. For the record, for the GACs, GAC is maybe different from the other community because we are the member in the GAC is not a voluntary basis. It is a nomination by the government. And so the GAC also, the member of the GAC also always change because of their term and also their commitment. And so then we also plan for the onboarding material, we developed the GACS briefing on the I Can Learn, and now it is get approval in principle from the chair and vice chair of the GACS, and what we are still pending is about the some infographic and some illustration, and also. We are also working to develop the GAC introduction video, a 1 minute video that make a brief introduction about the GAC and also about some working group in the GAC. And I developed some interview question for the chair of the working group that also appeal for the new membership in the working group also. And we also working with the GAC secretariat that when the new GAC member come for the meeting, we get all the data from the ICANN meeting registration database and identify who is the new member into the GACs. So then we can reach out to them and then engage them about the onboarding onboarding program in within the GACS, that if they require need some assistance also. And we will work with the GACS Secretariat also to develop the pooling, the mentor pooling that based on maybe different region, because GACS is from different region in the globe. So if any new GACS member from the same region, then the mentorship should be from the same region. They are easily to communicate. And we also work with the working group called Underserved Region Working Group, that usually they conduct the GACS capacity building alongside of the GACS meeting on any ICANN meeting. And at that meeting, they also have a call like government stakeholder engagement from the regional GACS office, that we work with them, that they are able to engage to country that there is no GACS representative, that they are able to join into the GACS also. And also, let me check. Yes, now that we are still working in this meeting, we will have the video shooting. We already coordinate with the GACS Secretariat and also the COM team for the video shooting. And do you have anything to add? Yes, that's all from the GACS. And I think for the timeline, we will use this template and then fill out all the our plan and then submit to the GACS Secretariat for some comment, and then to the GACS leadership for approval. Maybe we can get it. I think that we have a strong support from them, from the GACS Secretariat also, as I can that assist in the GACS that on the onboarding program. Yeah.
So does the end of the year sounds reasonable for that approval process to be ended, or you think you will need more time?
I think we will develop based on this template and submit to them, and then maybe by the end, after the ICANN 60, we can get it.
Until the next
week. Yeah.
Okay, so I wrote a bunch of stuff here. And please, we will share this so you can correct me. So I think that all of the communities and all of the representatives have been sharing their info. So that would be it for this session and this exercise. I think it was helpful for us to frame things, and our ARGs would like to say something.
Yeah, no, just a quick, just following up on the idea of the translation, just so we have this translation, it would be, Louise here. There's a deadline, because we already have the documents ready, so how will it work operationally?
Can we take that offline?
Okay.
Yeah. Perfect. Happy to talk to you right after this, okay. This session ends. We are a couple of minutes over time, but I would like to raise just one communication-related question, and that is, can we collectively agree or not agree to produce some sort of a write-up from this meeting that we can either publish as a blog or something, so that we begin the process of sharing as much information as we possibly can with the community, and we can point people to this write-up and say, okay, this is what we did, this is what we agreed, these are our next steps. Marilyn.
Marilyn Cade, I think that'd be an excellent idea. I might also ask us to think about a story in ICANN Wiki for the March meeting. I just cooperated with Dustin, the co-editor, to have 4.5 pages, little vignettes from 4 or 5 of the national and regional IGFs from developing countries as a highlight section. And maybe we could think about working with him, so do the blog now, but also do a story that would cover sort of, you know, but you'll see when you see the ICANN Wiki, you'll see the vignettes. IGF Afghanistan got a whole page, by the way. I can't imagine how that happened. But the point is pictures as well, and maybe we should take a few photos.
So Is everyone comfortable with us as staff holding the pen for a first draft, or would anyone like to volunteer? I guess the former. We'll hold the pen. Please go ahead.
Also, I don't know if it's possible, but maybe including a short article in the daily newspaper that I can publish every day during the meeting, because I know that many of us here read it, so that's important. So maybe, I don't know, we can talk to the communication team in order to ask them if it's possible to include a mention of this program as an activity we are doing here.
We will include it. We'll do a little write-up, share with a group, get your thumbs up, and then we'll take it from there. Heidi.
This is Heidi, and just following on, you know, this communication, it's just promote, tell the story. You know, I think that's great. You might wish to take photos yourself here, tweet it out. If you have a Twitter feed for your community, we're going to be doing that for At Large. We're doing that for ICANN. And also, if we can maybe get a group photo at the end of this meeting, that'll be good for the blog, and maybe you could even use it for your groups as well. Thank you.
Omar.
Can we have another meeting during the ICANN 60, even brief?
We will look into it, see if we can secure a room. But yeah, there will be no services, but yes, we'll look into it, and then we'll communicate via the mailing list. While I have your attention, just one more minute. Lawrence, you spoke of the need to put a visual earlier. If you can please put it up on the screen, the existing visual that we have, the latest version at least of it. And I will just take you. I'll take just a few seconds to show you guys. And this, we'll share this in the mailing list as well. If anything, this could be used as a baseline. Yeah. We'll start with the broken down ones, and this just brings it all together. Can we go to the broken down ones? So there are a total of 4 steps. We've got newcomer, learner, collaborator, and then leader. And within each of those 4 steps, there are 3 steps. So for the first one, for the newcomer, step 1 would be to review news and basic information. I'm going to go quick because we don't have a lot of time. Step 2 is to watch videos of ICANN on YouTube and in other I can learn as well. And also step 3, to take the beginner courses on Learn. Then you move on to the learner. And as a learner, there are, again, 3 steps. The first one would be to explore any visuals or ebooks or SlideShare information that's out there. The second step would be to sign up for ICANN.org account and subscribe to newsletters or any other groups. The third step within this learner step is to then find events that are relevant to you in your region. Then we move on to the third step, and that is a collaborator. You would find the global stakeholder engagement reps from your region and engage with them. The second step would be to check your eligibility for NextGen and fellowship program. Again, a lot of people in this room are way beyond these, but this is the stakeholder journey. The final step as a collaborator would be to plan an event in conjunction with your GSE representative. Then we will move on to a leader status, which would be to become a stakeholder journey mentor. The second step in that process would be to join a community and help shape, the future of the internet. And the last step is to attend ICANN meetings and regional events. So this is the broken down stakeholder journey, the visual that we have, the latest one, and the way that it looks when you bring it all together is this. It's a little more complicated. Now what we'll do is we'll share this with you on the mailing list, get your feedback, see if this is in any way useful, if it meets all the needs, or if you guys feel that it could be changed, it could be improved, and we're more than happy to, again, facilitate that interaction and work with you to make improvements. Marilyn, please.
Thanks. And I think this is really significantly improved, Marilyn speaking, significantly improved from much earlier versions. Just as a little joke, the first version that was done many, many years ago, the BC referred to it as the Ant People chart because it had little tiny stick figures kind of wandering through ICANN. Heidi's nodding because she remembers it. None of the BC members could figure it out. This is, I think, much, much better. But I do have one idea that I just wanted to mention for everyone. We encourage the BC recruits in the leadership program to also look at the larger internet governance ecosystem meetings where internet governance as it relates to ICANN is taken up and where ICANN is participating. So not just a regional event from ICANN, but for instance, an event like a national or regional IGF that has a couple of workshops that are about ICANN and they are in the country or sub-regionally available. So I'm wondering if we could just think about whether something that sort of portrays ICANN in the larger internet governance ecosystem. I actually have a chart that I'll share with you that Sally and I did a number of years ago. Because many fellows who come cannot return very frequently, but they may encounter ICANN not just at a regional ICANN meeting, but also at a national or regional IGF.
Thank you, Marilyn. And please do share that visual that you have, all that information. I think this would be, if we were to take it on as a group, a good output, having a mapping out a stakeholder journey that meets the vision and needs of your respective communities. This could be an actual specific, tangible material that could be produced out of this group. And this could be one of those group things rather than individual community. So with that, I think it's time for everyone to take a 10-minute break, and then we'll return. Yes, please. Go ahead, Lawrence. Last comment.
Okay. So, Lawrence, for the record, this actually is very good. It's nice to have this presented. I've never seen this before, despite the fact that, you know, we've been engaged for a while. But like you said, I think it'd be nice to send this to the mailing list, and then we can now start looking at, you know, how we think it could be broadened further. For me, there are still a number of things that I think I would like to see in a stakeholder map, and I'm sure the journey extends further beyond where it stopped. So if we could have this, or rather if we agree that this is something tangible to work with, I think there's, even in our individual constituencies, there's some information that we can still put into a map like this, and having it in an electronic form will really help. You know, there could be links that could lead to further stages. Thank you.
Yeah, and we've already shared it with the mailing list, so you should have it in your inboxes shortly. Okay, time for a break. Thank you. Thank you, Helena.
While we're taking a break, could I just get the people who are going to the 2017 IGF in Geneva, are there a number of you going there? Just raise your hand. I'm just curious. Okay. So we have a few people. Marilyn, I'm assuming you're going to the IGF. Are you going to the IGF? I'm assuming you're going. So Olivia, you're going to the IGF?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I know.
Are you, do you know yet if you're doing the usual cocktail event with, so yeah, also ICANN will have a booth, but we will also have a shared booth for the NRIs. Fantastic. Well, we'll be promoting the story of the NRIs. And ICANN is a major sponsor of the IGF Support Association, but also very often a sponsor of many of the national and sub-regional IGFs. There are workshops on ICANN issues that are organized at probably, I'd say, 30 of the in our eyes? Why are you frowning at me? Just because I know all this trivia?
And just having this chance one more time, I would like to remind you that on Sunday evening we'll be having a fellowship social, and you are all welcome to come and see us there and network with our ICANN 60 fellows. You are all cordially invited.
All right, everyone, if we can start, take our seats, please. This is the last segment, and we've got 45 minutes, roughly, to complete it, and then adjourn the meeting. So a couple more minutes, and we'll get started. Okay, if we can take our seats, please. All right, we probably should get started. We've got about 40 minutes, and we may want to end it 5 minutes before that so that we can identify and agree on action items. So the last segment is on reviewing our priorities and discussing next steps. So looking forward, a lot of the conversation we've had today has been around FY18. But beyond that, I think there's a need for us as a community to discuss together is there a need for this program to continue? If so, what would it look like beyond this current year? What are the elements that we need to have a part of it? What kind of structure do we need to put around it? And also, there's this point that has continued to come up in conversations that we've been having, and that is the newcomer focus of the program versus something that is more aligned with driving participation in the policy development process. And this sort of goes along the lines of the discussion that Esteban has been leading on the gap and bridging that gap. So I would like to defer to all of you or anyone who may wish to go first on your thoughts, A, about the need for the continuation of this program beyond FY18. And if you see a need for that, and there's a purpose. And B, is the current format fit for purpose, or does it need to change to meet the challenges of FY19 and beyond? So anyone who wishes to go first? Yes, Esteban.
Esteban, for the record. No, that I was looking at the journey of the stakeholder journey, and I think that in this journey is in some way is missing, or there is the gap is also present, because it's a journey of in some way of procedure or it's a journey with steps, okay? But I think that the problem is the content and the capability or the capacity building to follow the different steps. Just to explain more. In some way, it's longer the stage when you are far from ICANN and you have your first encounter with ICANN. And it's very short in the journey. The stage that for me is more important, that is how to engage in a useful way. No,
the overall journey.
The complete.
So this is no longer valid as a visual. The broken down is the latest one.
Yes, I think that the onboarding is in the leadership side, in some way, because we are the fellowship and the next gen are oriented to the people who arrive for first time or for second time. Okay, then you have the constituencies working. The problem is how you pass from it's my first time with this scheme, but I think that the problem is in the leadership side, okay? And the onboarding is pointing to that side. That for us is I think that this is the more because you need the knowledge and also the capacities, not just the first encounter with organization or the different issues that are under discuss.
So at the very core, would you characterize this program as a capacity development program?
Yes, in some way, yes. But the idea is to, because the program has to be self-driven, but each community, okay? But for example, in the case of the ISPs, the community don't know how to produce this engagement and how to produce the capacities. We have outreach activities, but the outreach activities are not enough to motivate the people and to obtain the engagement that we are looking for.
So how can this program fill that gap that you've identified?
Oh, I think that because we have some kind of cross communities practice and cross community knowledge, and we are working in some way in has a level playing field in the activities and the information that we are providing, and that is why in one of my previous interventions, I said that this program is not competing with other programs. It's just another way to produce this information and the information, the capabilities, the capacities, and to fill the gap. And it's more oriented to the leader or to the how something says as a productive contributor or something like that. No, I think that this program is oriented to these people. The people we need people that become in a productive contributor to the community.
Okay, Lawrence, please.
Thank you. So I mean, total agreement with Esteban's view in the sense that across board in our different communities, in our different constituencies, there are lots of efforts at bringing new volunteers, we are doing a lot of outreach, in-reach and stuff like that. But when you bring these people into the constituency, more or less they land at a point where, because of the kind of work we do and because of the way the work we do is structured, you can get confused. You could find yourself wiggling around if you don't have any guidance. So what I see the onboarding group here helping to do is, more like a roadmap, helping to build a roadmap for our different constituencies, in the sense that if you get into our constituency for the first time, these are the things that you can do to actively engage. And by the time you get into these things, you begin to find your part. You begin to find a way to grow within the system. So I think that while we're doing a lot of work towards attracting new volunteers, we sometimes could stand the risk of bringing people in, and because they don't see any, they don't quite understand the ecosystem, you get this, you get them lost, as in they just walk away because they don't understand where to fit in. So if we outline the structures on ground and ways in which when you get in, you can easily start doing this and that until you really find the rhythm, we will have the advantage of keeping more volunteers and helping them to quickly get engaged within the community.
Yes, Omar, please go ahead.
Thank you. Omar speaking. Before newcomers, I have a couple of suggestions. One is like before newcomers, I think we should include people who are not there, who do not know about ICANN. And so that we can introduce a few steps how they can become newcomers. That will help, bring more people as newcomers. And then the last one, if you go to the leader, this one, I think we should introduce something between the, what was the collaborator? Yeah, between collaborator and leader. Because leader is, there's so many people who have like years of experience, a lot of years of experience. They could be called leaders. But people who are there for like 3-4 meetings, and 5 meetings, they can, based on this criteria, they can become leaders and they can be called leaders. But I think before leader, we should introduce another one which could be called influencer. Somebody who can, influence others to join, be part of the different working groups and all. But leaders should have a tougher criteria to meet. So that will encourage people to, engage more and contribute more.
Thank you. Olivier?
Thanks, Sergius. Olivier Capanovlon speaking. I think it's becoming clear that the different communities that are participating in the onboarding program have different gaps in their stakeholder ladder. I think that a modular system where each one can actually decide to use the modules to plug in those gaps that they have the most need for is probably a way forward. I'm totally aligned with Esteban. When it comes down to stakeholder journeys and where our need in at-large is. We have a lot of new at-large structures that are applying at the moment. I think our growth is currently going really fast, but we then find out that picking them up from the time they're there, they've been to a meeting perhaps because often it's fellows that have come to the meeting and then that get their organization to join. Getting them to actually be active afterwards, and especially when it comes down to policy commenting, policy development, getting engaged in GNSO PDP working groups, that is really hard. It's a very big step, and that's where I see the real importance is, because otherwise, and I'm going to be very frank here, we are going to be accused of being a holiday program. Let's travel around the world and policy, what's that all about? We can't always say we're ignoring what's going on in policy. That's what we're here for, in my view.
And that touches, I think, on an important point and about the future of the program. Luis, you mentioned earlier that, fine, we've got the materials, we've developed them, what's next? And Baron, you had said implementation is this year. Yes. So the question really is, beyond FY18, what are the needs that we can agree on collectively for the program? And then obviously each individual community would have to follow their own path. But in terms of what is coming down the pike, where do we see the need? Where do we need to drive the volunteers towards? What are the capacity development opportunities we need to provide? What is the vision that this group has? And let me back up a little bit. Is there a need to continue this program or a version of it beyond FY18? And if so, what would that look like? Baron, go ahead.
This is Baron for the record. I tend to agree with what Olivier is saying. If you look at the programs around ICANN, we have programs that help you with leadership. We have programs that helps you with chairing a session. We have programs that help you know about ICANN in general, but we don't have any programs that help you to get into the nitty-gritty of policy development. being a pen holder. We don't have anything like that. And that's something people struggle with. I've been to 9 ICANN meetings. I still can't manage to be a pen holder. It's a struggle.
So in your experience, the challenge has been what specifically? Has it been time? Has it been capacity? Has it been...
Oh, no, capacity is there. There are people that know how to do it. But I would say, for example, within At Large, it's the same people that do the pen holding because we just are not developing the capacity to that level for new people to come in. Maybe we need to have a structure in place to help people to become pen holders, just like we have a structure for people to become chairs. We have a structure for people to become leaders in ICANN. Do we have that technical structure to help people to become pen holders and develop in the virtual policy ladder?
And is this something, though, that the program can address, or is this more internal to your respective, to your community?
Well, I don't know about other communities. I'm not that involved in other communities, but we'll have to look across the board and see. But I really think that that is something we should look at. So when you say a version of this program, that's something that I'm thinking about. Not necessarily very huge, but maybe concentrate on that aspect that we feel is a need within the community.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
Hi. Yeah. Louise, for the record. Well, I think this is a very fortunate topic to come up in the agenda because I do feel it's a shared concern of how to engage people and build capacity so they can actually get involved in policy development processes, which require a further point in the stakeholder journey. I think that's fundamental. And remember in our last meeting in Joburg, that was actually the question, you know. There, as it was said before, there are many points of entrance to ICANN, but the way you follow into these very specific, very capacity requirements within, especially in policy areas, I think it's one of the biggest challenges. And I can say from the NCUC that we have been trying also to deal with this. And in, for example, the rights protection mechanisms, I have developed a newcomer's guide so people can actually understand the basic terms that are being discussed over there. So it's not necessarily just talking about NCC, but talking about what is at stake and what is a policy, because the onboarding programs explain what a policy development process is. But this is more specific to a certain issue, and that connects also to the idea that I was talking before of like building networks of people who are coming in and people who are already somehow involved in these processes. And I can say that we have also been trying to establish some kind of bridge between, I have been talking to Martin also about this, about especially the RPMs. So I think it's also building cross-constituency kind of collaboration. I think that's really good. And yeah, I just wanted to share that. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, Rapi, please.
For me, I think that the program should be built or in the each community that they can be implemented. It is not a pilot onboarding program anymore, but a real practical onboarding program within the each community. But however, we after the fiscal year 18, we may still need the cross community onboarding program that the mentor or mentee can still exchange or discuss sharing about the experience or knowledge about on the program itself.
Thank you. Yeah, Louise Scott.
It's just a real little follow-up on what I was saying, just to make my point clear, is that not necessarily these things that I was talking about engagement and capacity building within like specifically policy development processes, they have to be at this level. I think it's much more of an intern, as you were saying before, of like building this up internally and seeing how the onboarding can actually contribute to this specific need. So I think it's more of an internal process as well.
Thank you. I think Marilyn, you wanted to speak, please.
Marilyn Cade speaking. So I'm going to perhaps challenge us to think a little bit differently about what leadership is by sharing the following phrases. Serve to lead and lead to serve. I think sometimes within ICANN, people think that leadership means you get an elected position. And actually, that's not what leadership is. To be effective, you have to be able to work at all different levels. And I hope that this program can really think about that. I liked your idea, Omar, of introducing a category of influencer as well. But I think one of the concerns that does exist within some of the parts of ICANN that are not attending and engaging in this session, in this program, from the contracted parties are, is this a travel club? And I think, thank you, Olivier, for calling that out, because in the past, there have been several previous initiatives, the Dot Force, a few other things that didn't have the coaching and programmatic aspects that ICANN has introduced to help the fellows kind of find their way. But I think we probably need to think more about what do we mean when we say leader? Because if we're giving the impression that everybody needs to chair something, everybody needs to have an elected office, then we're not going to be able to provide meaningful activities and roles, nor contributions. So I'm just going to go back to one other comment. In the BC, we care as much about security, stability, and resiliency as we do about GTLD policy. Security, stability, and resiliency of the internet and of ICANN, the organization. So, you know, I'm going to ask also, what do we mean when we say policy? Because in that case, that's not, some people would not think that's policy. We think of it more as governance. But I think it's a very important part of working in an organization to be able to contribute to the health and well-being of that organization and how the organization achieves its overall goals.
Thank you, Marilyn. Anyone else? Anyone would like to react? Lawrence, please.
Thank you. This is Lawrence for Records. So I believe that there is value that the onboarding program is providing to the community. Aside from the individual value we derive in participating, in the sense that it helps us take a deeper dive into what's going on in our constituency and helping to look at gaps that need to be filled for newcomers to be able to quickly find their feet. I believe that going forward, a case can, should still be made for the program to continue. Because, like I mentioned earlier, we are able to enhance the systems that we have in place in our different constituencies. The systems are what's going to keep active participation and volunteering ongoing. If there are short, there are definitely some barriers that we are able to identify. And going forward with the new governance, with the existing governance structure, there are still going to be challenges and barriers also that are going to evolve. And by keeping a group like this actively looking at how to engage new volunteers and how to help them grow within the system, we will definitely be plugging a need, which is not just having people come in, but also when they come in, getting them to be active. I think we should still make that case for the onboarding program to continue. Thank you.
Thank you. Esteban, please.
Yes, Esteban, for the record. I continue watching at this PowerPoint, and I think that the problem, not the problem, but the gap is here. Because if you join community groups and help shape the future of internet, it's not automatic. You can join a lot of mailing lists, but in order to make a contribution that will be useful, is a difference. And also attend ICANN meetings. You can go all of we attend many ICANN meetings. And it's a gap between go to the ICANN meeting and contribute to the community and to the, for example, to the PDP or whatever. No? I think that the gap is shown there, and the onboarding program is a tool to in some way to fill the gap. At that stage, it's not for newcomers, it's not for beginners, it's for people who is already engaged but need to be more productive or more maybe influencer to the whole process. I think that we are in that stage, and this view is very useful to understand which is the problem we are trying to solve. Okay, I think that the problem is that gap between a collaborator and a leader, or maybe an active participant or an influencer participant. Thank you.
Thank you, Esteban. Anyone else would like to weigh in? Any comments? Omar, please.
Just want to add into that in what I said earlier. I like Marilyn's comment about leadership is not about an elected position. It's about, you know, making the influence and, you know, contributing in a lot of different things. Yeah. With this, I really liked your comments, Esteban. It's not about the number of meetings you attend and the number of mailing lists you sign up for, but it's really about the actual contribution you make. For example, one of the deliverables could be the number of newcomers you've mentored, or the number of blog posts you've written about ICANN, the number of documents you've translated, right? So this could be, and also there could be some other things, or the number of people you've recruited, companies, for example, in the BC, we can say this is the number of, like, I've recruited 10 new members at the BC or at the ISB constituency. So this could be like some of the indicators and deliverables that could be counted as a contribution for the influencer or the leader.
Thank you, Omar. Anyone else would like to weigh in? No? Okay, so I would like to say a few words at a high level. It sounds, and based on the information I've seen, that people are coming in to ICANN, right? There's no shortage of new people coming in. That's just a fact. Then you look at some working groups, they range anywhere between 100 to 160. But the percentage of those who are actively participating, i.e. contributing, is very, very small. So you could say roughly anywhere between 80 to 90% of those who are members of a working group are not actively participating. So the question then becomes, is it an issue of capacity? And more often than not, it is. So then there is a need to have some sort of an initiative that builds capacity. And maybe this program can be that vehicle. But crystallizing what that is really the exercise that I wanted. That's why I wanted to get everybody's opinions on and feedback. Because, yes, we're filling a gap, and this doesn't overlap with anything else. That's all fine. But in terms of the fine grain and really getting to the specifics of what it is and communicating this to the broader community so that, yes, it's not perceived as the club that's traveling around, right? So, and we don't have to solve for this now. We've got plenty of months coming ahead. But I wanted to raise this as something, some food for thought for everyone, so that we can continue this dialogue and really think about how do we get to the specifics of it? How can we come up with two or three specific items, deliverables, or thing that this program is trying to accomplish specifically? And how is that meeting the needs of the community? Again, being very specific. So, again, just food for thought. Yes, Yelena, go ahead.
I'm not interrupting you. Would you like to add something more? Yelena, for the record, I would add for that problem of people lacking the capacities to participate in working groups. I have a personal example of myself. I'm visiting the CCNSO sessions on ICANN meetings for quite years now, and I still don't feel to have enough capacity to participate in some of the working groups who are tackling very specific CCTLD questions. I don't think that I have enough knowledge about retirement of domain names, GEO 2 or 3 letter domain names, and I don't feel empowered enough to go on and visit those working groups and say, hey guys, I wanna help up, because I feel, I don't know, in a way embarrassed that I don't know enough. So it's the lack of the capacity, it's the lack of communication. Newcomers who are not newcomers that much, they know something. I mean, I don't want this to sound stupid, but I think that I have the vision of how ICANN works now, but I still don't have the capacity to participate in the CCNSO pretty much. That was my point previously, to speaking about the repository of skills. It would be great for each of our communities to maybe think about what would be the skills and the knowledge of the newcomers who are trying to go in our communities, and to help them to build them, to help them to learn, and to, okay, they will have the mentors, but what would be the time needed for me to learn about the retirement of the domain names? Who should I ask? What should I read? Okay, yes, I should read the CCNSO website, but it's hard to grasp because everything is new. So what would be the things and the support needed for them? Those skills, those specific skills. So that might be our next step. And part of the onboarding materials, that thing can be like official outcome of it. Thanks.
Thank you, Elena. Anyone would like to react to that or add anything? Omar and then Marilyn.
I think that was a good suggestion about the capacity. I had that problem as well when I first came in 2014 at ICANN 51 Los Angeles. And then there was like a 2 years gap between my first ICANN and the second one, which I came to as a community onboarding member in Hyderabad. I didn't know after ICANN 51 how to get involved, but I was lucky I met Marilyn and Jameson, who encouraged me to apply for BC membership. And that's how I was connected. But apart from that, there was no mechanism where I could, you know, which I could utilize to learn more about ICANN in its work. So capacity building, I guess, and I fully support that, be one of the major activities that we should do, and find a way we can help build our capacity and also help others, you know, to build their capacities to get involved more and learn.
Marilyn, please.
Thanks, Marilyn Kate. I'm going to question how we're using certain words. I think when we use the word capacity, do we mean basic knowledge and understanding of some of the things that ICANN does, which can be enhanced through coaching and ICANN Learn, perhaps? I'm not trying to be derogatory about this, but how many of you have ever sat through an ESSAC meeting? What does the ESSAC do? So security, stability, and resiliency, they write very detailed, impartial, peer-reviewed reports about SSR issues. And some of them may address some of the basic knowledge. It may be that their reports are too dense or not visible enough, but I'm wondering, or just if we're not, we should try to define as we take this forward, what do we think the basic building blocks are to be an effective participant in ICANN versus capacity, which might also include availability of time, maturing in the ability to comment, but basic skills, I think we can then go back and say, okay, have people actually participated? Have they taken the ICANN 101 course, which may be in different bites, in order to be able to, and do we need some fact sheets that are summarizing some of these, if you don't know how the DNS works, going to be really hard to be effective within ICANN. And we find in the BC that we have many of our members who they do not really understand how the DNS works. They understand how a part of it affects their business.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Esteban? Yes, for the record, sometimes it's a question of capacity, but sometimes it's a question of attitude, okay? Because I feel like Yelena. I am not a newcomer, and nowadays I feel in some way lost in the discussions, but not lost in terms of knowledge, lost in terms of maybe in attitude, because if you understand that are discussing rocket science, okay, you don't feel comfortable to make your collaboration. And maybe your collaboration is very positive, but you don't feel with the attitude to do that. That is why I think that it's very important the figure of the mentor-mentee, okay? Because the mentor is the person who will push you to make the collaboration in terms of attitude and in terms of knowledge. That is why I think that this idea of the community mentor inside each community is very interesting, because it's the person who allows you to get the attitude to collaborate and maybe to get the knowledge, because it is the person in a team of person that produce the materials, produce the information to allow you to contribute. Thank you.
Thank you, Esteban. Omar?
I agree that the term capacity is very broad, and sometimes it's vague, but it's the ability to your ability to take or give, you know. I like the idea of further defining or breaking the capacity down into, for example, knowledge, attitudes, and also confidence building. Many times it happens that a newcomer understands a specific issue, but when he comes to the ICANN and he sees all these oldies, you know, they don't feel, you know, the confidence. Like one of my coaches at the fellowship program is Secretary General of an ISP association. And he has been running an ISP for the past 20, 25 years. But the feeling I got there was he didn't feel, the confidence. He said, I'm quite new and I don't know, you know, whether...
You mean one of your mentees, not coaches?
Mentees, I don't know what you call it, mentee or coach.
You mean the ones whom you were coaching this time?
Yeah.
So not...
You call it mentee? Okay, so... All right, so there was a confusion about that. All right. So people like him. I mean, they could be. We could, for example, include the confidence building into that. So capacity could be like learning trainings, for example, attitude issues, and also some confidence building.
Anyone else? One more comment before we wrap up. Okay, so obviously this is something that I think we need to continue discussing over the coming weeks and months. And I'm confident we'll get to a point where we have some good or rough consensus at least on the vision for the program moving forward. But what I do hear is that there is a need to have a program like this to address the gaps that exist currently within ICANN, both in terms of engagement and also capacity, however it is, would define that. Unless anyone else has any... Yeah, we'll take that offline. In terms of, Heidi was just reminding me, the possibility of meeting again while we're here, we will look into options and then send an email in the mailing list and then we'll take it from there. Unless there are any last minute comments, any observations, I would like to thank all of you for your very positive contributions. This has been a very, very good meeting. We have some good takeaways. We will share with you a little write-up that we can potentially put on our newsletter. And then beyond that, we'll prepare a blog and again, take your feedback before it's published. So thank you so much again, and I'll see you around at ICANN 60. Before we leave, can we do a group picture, please?